Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double S, anytime, man.
Christopher Mandog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
It's so funny. The normal person usually knows when spring is back by the weather. For me, I know when spring is back when we have opening day yesterday, the Final Four this weekend, and the Masters the next week. It's great to have you in here. Welcome into the Strom Sports Show, episode 140 here on the great TalkNorth.com. Remember, the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by BetterEdge, the social betting exchange, giving back to the bettors. Greg Rosenthal of NFL Network, he will join us in just a few minutes here. We'll talk some of the rule proposals that are being put to the test right now. We know that there is a regular season extension from 16 games to 17 now, so we'll touch up with Greg on that. A little Kirk Cousins as well. You know, you always have to spin in some Kirk Cousins stuff with whenever you have an NFL writer on, especially being that we all sort of are questioning what's going to happen after these next 2 years with Cousins as he turns 33 years old. So there's a lot to get into with Greg. I'm looking forward to it. We've got a couple of topics that we'll hit here early on before we get to Greg. And we'll start here with the Final Four. We have Gonzaga versus UCLA, Baylor versus Houston. Those two games are on Saturday, which is tomorrow. Now, just a couple of things. You know, Gonzaga right now, I think, is the best team in college basketball just watching these last couple of games. Do I think that they played the best competition? No, but I think there's something to be said about a team that has beaten their opponents by double digits in 27 consecutive games. We know the conference that they play in isn't the best, but at the same time, they are handling teams in the NCAA tournament with ease, with Creighton, with Oklahoma. And honestly, when they play this team in UCLA that is a little offensively challenged, this is going to be another double-digit spread, and it is actually at 14. That is insane. I don't know when the last time a Final Four game had that big of a spread, but that's where we're at with Gonzaga. UCLA, just a gutty run by them, Mick Cronin and company. Seems like every game, Jaquez or Tiger, you know, all these different guys are stepping up for them. They're a gritty team. I don't think they're a good matchup against Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga will handle them, but you got to give credit to UCLA and Mick Cronin, especially in his second year, bringing a team to the Final Four. On the other side, we have Baylor, who I picked to win it all. They are right next to Gonzaga in terms of the best teams that I've seen all tournament. They handled a couple of interesting games with Arkansas, Villanova, Wisconsin. Those are tricky teams. They were able to kind of weather the storm here. A stat on them is they lead the country in three-point shooting at 41%. If you're big on that, Baylor's your team. And then we have Houston, who I call the fraud. They play in the AAC. I just didn't think they had enough to get to the Final Four. But they are the first team to advance to the Final Four by beating only double-digit seeds. You had Cleveland State, you had Rutgers, you had Oregon State. I mean, those are teams that are all double-digit seeds. So take that how it is. Those are your Final Four that will play on Saturday. I think Gonzaga beats UCLA. I think Baylor beats Houston. And then I think Baylor beats Gonzaga. I just, you go across the entirety of a team, I think Baylor is your best team right now. Right now, I think a lot of people think it's Gonzaga, but I just think when they face up against each other, I think Baylor wins. So that's sort of where I'm at with the Final Four. I think it's been a great NCAA tournament. The competition, the upsets, I mean, this has been pretty crazy. You know, UCLA only being the second team in NCAA history to go from the first four to the Final Four, which is VCU, I'm pretty sure, back in 2011 with Shaka Smart. So it's been a really fun tournament. It's good to have it back. It felt very normal this year. So that's where we're at here as far as the Final Four is concerned. Tip off at 5:14 my time for the Houston-Baylor game, and then UCLA-Gonzaga is at 8:34. So just subtract an hour for you Minnesotans. All right, Twins opener. Now, I am recording this here on Thursday morning, so I have no idea what happened against the Milwaukee Brewers. But look, we'll just look at the totality of this season. It's not going to be an easy road for the Twins to three-peat as American League champions, and they haven't done that since 2002. They have a team in the Chicago White Sox that a lot of people are on. They had a really big offseason. However, Eloy Jimenez tore his pectoral, which is huge for the Minnesota Twins because Jimenez is a big part of that Chicago White Sox offense. But the big story here is the Twins need to snap this 18-game playoff losing streak, and they have not won a playoff game since 2004. You look at this team, I think there's a couple of questions, one being the starting pitching with Kenta Maeda, Jose Berrios. 1-2 punch is good, but then towards that back end with Pineda, Shoemaker, Happ, Dobnik, it's just, we'll see sort of what happens, but that's definitely an area of concern. GMs right now are very concerned about how they're going to pitch the amount of innings that take in 162 games. They played a 60-game season last year. We don't know how these pitchers' arms are going to respond. We just don't. So starting pitching is definitely a concern for me, especially on that back end. Look, if you look around contending teams that are contending for a World Series, you look at their ace, I would say that 9 out of 10 of them are better than Kenta Maeda. Maeda had a great year last year, but when you stack it up, Gerrit Cole versus Kenta Maeda at Yankee Stadium, who are you taking? And I'll let you answer that question. As far as the relievers go, Twins had a couple of additions. Alex Calame, Hansel Robles, a couple of different tweaks in that bullpen. Taylor Rogers obviously needs to bounce back with Tyler Duffy, Jorge Alcala, Cody Stashak, just a couple of different guys. I mean, the relievers were really good 2 years ago. Again, you can't take too much. You can't take too little, I guess, from last year with the 60-game slate. But starting pitching, relievers, the pitching is definitely something that I think is the Achilles heel on this team, because we'll get into the positive right now. 1-8, this lineup is we know, stacked. Buxton, Kepler, Donaldson, Sano, Cruz, Arraez, Polanco. This is a team 1-9 that I think a lot of people feel comfortable with. I think it's one of the best batting lineups in the entire league. The big question, and it's cliche for me to say, and I'm not going to get deep into it, the durability of these players, and you look at last year between Donaldson, Polanco, Sano, it's everything. Buxton, they need to stay healthy. If they can get 125-plus games from those types of players, the Twins are going to win the AL Central. I'm very confident in that. And left field, I think, is the only question mark in terms of that lineup. I know Arraez played left field yesterday against Milwaukee, but we don't know what's going on with that. Jake Cave, Garlick, that's kind of a weird position out in left field. We'll see what happens. They wanted to go with Kirilloff, but he went 4-for-31 during spring training. It's funny, when a player does really well in spring training, we're like, oh, hey, listen, you can't take too much into it. But if a player struggles, then it's like, all right, let's get him out the door. So, we'll see what happens at left field, but I don't expect anything less than this team to compete and win the AL Central. Anything short of that, I think, is a disappointment. You're sort of getting at the point here with Rocco Baldelli being in his third year. Guys are getting older. Donaldson, Cruz. The time is now for the Minnesota Twins, and we'll see what happens during the trade deadline. I'm sure they'll make a move depending on where they're at. But I'm very excited about Twins baseball. They've been the one consistent Minnesota team for the last couple of years, just being in the playoffs and being a contender. So I'm very happy to have them back and playing as they face the Milwaukee Brewers here for a couple of games. All right, last thing, and we'll sort segue into Greg Rosenthal, so we'll do a little NFL. NFL came out and said that they are having a 17-game season instead of a 16-game. Roger Goodell also came out, and he expects full stadiums. Couple of things on this. Alvin Kamara, the running back for the Saints, not happy about it. I don't really have, like, I can totally see where Kamara's coming from. Hey, we don't want to play an extra game. I can totally see where some other guys are saying, hey, you get paid more money, you don't have to play in that game, whatever. Like, a lot of times these players don't even play a full season. So the 17-game slate, I think, is nothing more than the NFL is trying to make more money. They're trying to make up for what happened with COVID last year. So the only thing that's going to be weird is, like, you know, the Vikings, are they going to go 8-9, you know, 8-8-1? Like, it's just kind of weird to add that extra game. That's going to take some time to get used to. Also, you know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, there's certain records in the NFL that are going to be broken. So we have to take into consideration, like, Adrian Peterson back in 2012, when he tears his ACL, he comes back. He's a couple yards short from Eric Dickerson's single season record. I remember me and my dad were watching that Packer game when they were trying to clinch that playoff spot, we almost were like, hey, if he gets overtime here, he's easily going to get this. So you add a 17th game, Peterson breaks that record with ease because he only was down by a couple of yards. So some of these records that are intact right now are going to be broken because you're adding another game, which is everything for some of these guys. So a couple other proposals, and remember, all proposals must be approved by 75%, which is 24 of the owners, to be adopted. Some of these proposals that I just wanted to read off: 4th and 15 instead of an onside kick, which I think is ridiculous. I think the only case you can give me is the safety stuff on the onside kick, because it is kind of like, let's just kick it and let's just try to lay someone out so they can fumble and we can try to recover. But the 4th and 15, I mean, there's so much things that can happen. Like, what happens if it's a hold on the defense? Is it an automatic first down? It's 5 yards. There's just so much logistics that go behind a 4th and 15 instead of an onside kick. I think it's completely unfair for the team that's been winning the entire time. I think teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, it's even more at an advantage. 4th and 15 is like, you know, 3rd and 5 for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't like it. I would stay away from it. The next one is making roughing the passer reviewable. I'm for this. You know, it was frustrating with the pass interference, having to go back constantly and try to depict whether this is that or that is this. You know, there's been a lot of roughing the passer calls that have been questionable in favor of Kirk Cousins, and then there's definitely been roughing the passer calls that I thought should have been called. So I would really kind of look at this. This would be the one rule I would be like, okay, fine. I would adopt that. And then the last one is going back to sudden death overtime. Not a fan of this. I'm surprised the Vikings didn't have, you know, a win in this situation, and then they wanted to change it, because that's what happened back in 2009 with the Saints. Is Garrett Hartley hit a game-winning field goal on the first possession, and then all of a sudden we're going to change overtime where teams get two possessions. So the NFL is proposing to go back to sudden death overtime, whether that's to limit injury, limit the time. I don't like it. I don't like that your season is determined on a flip of a coin. And then people, you know, the hardos are going to tell me, well, you got to get a stop on defense. I don't know. It's hard for me to digest if the Chiefs and the Patriots are playing in the AFC Championship, or Chiefs Bills will say for the standard, and Josh Allen wins the coin toss, he comes down and scores, kicks a field goal, and the Bills win, and Mahomes doesn't get a chance to touch the ball in overtime. Doesn't sit well with me. So that's where we're at here as far as the NFL is concerned. Before we get into Greg Rosenthal, let me just read you a little bit about Better Edge. You got to combine your love for competition, social, and sports with Better Edge. I've been trying to tell you guys about this. It's the sports betting exchange that actually gives back to its bettors. Better Edge is a brand new locally based betting platform meant to connect users. So if your buddy's on there, you can connect with them. Hey, what do you got? You got this guy, you got Gonzaga minus this, and you can attempt to add some coin to the bank. It's completely legal and 100% fun. Compete against friends, sports insiders, and yourself with Better Edge in a number of different sports and event competitions. Use the code STROM, STROM, for a free $10 when you sign up by visiting betteredge.com. That's BETTOR edge.com. Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com. Here he is. All right, Greg Rosenthal of NFL Network. He joins us now here on the Strom Sports Show. Great to have him in. Make sure to check out his podcast, Around the NFL. You can also follow him on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal. Greg, Steven Strom here. It's great to have you on. How's everything going?
What's up, Steven? I'm doing well.
I'm doing well as well. So let's first start here just with the overall NFL. And they're going to move to a 17-game regular season in 2021. First time the NFL has stretched the regular season since 1978. When it increased from 14 to 16 games. Give us sort of a reaction to this. Did you expect this? And just kind of give us your take.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that this was coming the moment they signed their CBA, which feels like it was a lifetime ago. And then I had to check yesterday. That was actually just a year ago. That was right before the pandemic. That was right before free agency and everything last year. But when they put that in the CBA, that basically they can go to 17 when they want, you knew it was coming sooner than later. And here it is. And, you know, my ultimate reaction is like, I've been doing this NFL season now for 17 or 18 years. And mine is just like, okay, another week of the season. Let's get ready. And like, my wife is not thrilled about this when she found out the Super Bowl is February 13th. But other than that, it's great. Less preseason is also good.
What's your thought on Alvin Kamara? Because he was one of the first ones that came out and he was upset about them extending the season. You know, you have some people saying, well, it's just another added check to their salary. And then you have other people saying, well, does he have a point because it's an added season? Where do you kind of fall as far as Alvin Kamara's reaction went?
I think the time for the players to make meaningful debate about it was before they signed the CBA. They right. ultimately agreed. Now, I think Kamara and the ultimate minority of the players that were against 17 games have a totally fair point. I mean, when the players shot down going to 18 games all those years ago, I didn't think this would happen. But the owners got the players union to agree to the terms of this CBA, basically, like you said, by getting an extra game check if you sign your contract before the last CBA, and ultimately as a sign that, hey, we're going to grow the whole pie and you're going to make more money because of this, and TV deals will be higher because of this. And the players agreed to that. So it's like any big group of people or politics or anything, you're going to have some disagreements. And I totally get where Kamara is coming from, but they made that decision a year ago. That was what they decided to do. They signed up for the 17 game season, essentially.
Fair enough. A couple more things about the proposals, and then we'll get into a little bit of Minnesota Vikings. But we all know that to approve these, 75% of the owners have to adopt it. What about the 4th and 15 instead of an onside kick? Is there any like validity? Do you think there's a possibility that gets passed?
There was real support for it the last time I was at an owners meeting, which was now 2 years ago. Because obviously it was essentially canceled last year. Now it'll be remote and just the owners and no media there. And there was real support for this theory of wow. taking 4th and 15, but it wasn't enough to get 3/4. It was kind of, I think it was close to 50-50, maybe even a little under that. And I like that idea actually better than some other ideas. Like, I think that that's fun, but I kind of don't expect enough owners to agree because they're not creative enough.
And some of the other proposals that are on the table, making roughing the passer reviewable and then going back to sudden overtime. But let's get into a little bit of Minnesota Vikings here. You know, based on what I've seen the last couple of weeks, I mean, Zimmer and Spielman have clearly prioritized the cornerback position. Have the Vikings moved these last few weeks, given sort of a clear image of where you think they'll go at 14 in the first round this year?
No. And I don't think they should. You're right, they're less likely to take a cornerback. But after all the cornerbacks they've taken lately, I would have been surprised if they did. Anyways, it almost feels like they're making up for the veterans that they got rid of a year ago. I thought they would be fine at corner because of how Zimmer coaches up that position. I still tend to think they'll be fine. But they were not fine last year. And no. So that was maybe Zimmer and me overestimating. But a lot of it was the pass rush, as you know. And to me, that's the most logical area at 14, but I don't see a lot of positions that you could look at other than running back and just say like, nope, don't need a guy. And that's how you should be, unless you're like a totally stacked Super Bowl team.
So give us some guys that you think Minnesota should definitely consider if they're there.
I am not your draft expert. I'm not even going to pretend. I think like I said, whatever happens with Danielle Hunter, even if he is back, I think they need a pass rusher. And I think you can scheme up the back seven, and I think Zimmer can do that. I don't think you can scheme up a pass rush as much as they thought, and they found that out a year ago. Certainly offensive line, this isn't the greatest class ever. I don't know if someone's going to be there at 14, but it's not like they could be ignoring that position either.
We're here with Greg Rosenthal, the host of Around the NFL podcast. Make sure to check that out. You can also follow him on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal. A couple more left here. Kirk Cousins. If you didn't talk about him, this is like the Minnesota Vikings media. And it's like, oh, let's talk about Kirk Cousins. So I'm actually going to just succumb to that and do that. He's 32 years old. He's turned 33 in August, under contract for 2021 and 2022. I guess my question for you is, what do you do right now at the quarterback position these next couple of years? Just kind of based on what Kirk does these next few seasons, are you looking to move on from him? What have you seen? You know, is he good enough to, you know, put him over the top? Where are you at sort of with Kirk Cousins?
In the same place I've been all along. And it's funny, I used to argue about Cousins so much. And I feel like we know where he is. We know who he is. I think you have to be looking for a potential quarterback of the future. I don't think your eyes can be closed to that. I don't think it's the most pressing need in the world, especially for a regime, Zimmer and Spielman, who aren't used to losing and will really be wanting to win this year. I think you can build a title contending team around Kirk Cousins. But is he ever going to be that top 10 guy year after year? I don't think he will be. And so that means you should have your eyes open for developing the position. To me, he's not their problem, but he's not exactly their solution. I imagine that's how Vikings fans feel too. Although weirdly, yeah. I think Vikings fans have gone 180 here and now they defend Kirk Cousins more than I ever thought they would. Like at first they were kind of down and now they're in.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very peculiar situation. And my last question for you about Kirk Cousins, because instead of everyone talking about, is he overrated? Is he more overrated or is he more overhated? That's sort of my question for you.
I of those two, I would go overrated, I guess, because I think it's on you if you're overrating him at this point. He's a good quarterback. Like, not everyone can be Aaron Rodgers. He is a good starting quarterback. The times where he mentally kind of goes off the rails for a half a quarter at a time drives you crazy. But if you look at some good Pro Bowl type quarterbacks over the years, like they do that too. He's never going to be the top five guy. So if you hate him after all you've seen, like that's you hating yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you know who he is. Just get over it. Like no one's saying he's Aaron Rodgers.
All right, last one for you, Greg, and I really appreciate you jumping on with me because some of the comparisons, I think, with Kirk Cousins is, you have Matt Stafford, and you also have Jimmy Garoppolo. That's sort of like the tier that always has been talked about. So I want to just talk about Garoppolo because he wasn't thrilled, obviously, when San Francisco informed him that they were going to trade up for the number three pick. Where do you think the 49ers go, and what's the future sort of for Garoppolo?
I think they will trade him. I do think they are putting out how much they want to keep him because they know there is a world where they may keep him. And by saying that, you're not showing your cards too much going into the draft because you want to get as much as possible for Jimmy Garoppolo, not look like you're desperate. If you're going to trade up to the number three overall pick, you're not doing it to sit the guy, all those first round picks. So I think the only way they keep Jimmy G, and I think there is an outside chance, is if no one is offering anything for him and they just decide it's not worth it, trading him for a sixth round pick, and they decide to go into the offseason with him and they keep him until training camp and then see if a trade emerges, like a few years ago when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, as you know. Yeah. And you guys got rid of Sam Bradford. You guys got Sam Bradford. It's so confusing. There's been many Sam Bradford trades.
Yes, I do remember that. That was definitely one of the scariest moments, I think, as a Viking fan when Teddy went down. But yeah, they ended up trading a first round pick to Philly for Sam Bradford. And then the quarterback carousel after that is up in the air. But Greg, man, I really appreciate you again. The host of Around the NFL podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Make sure to check it out. Also check him out on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal. I appreciate you giving me the time today and have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. Vikings fans are among my favorites. They are as loyal and sad sometimes, but but like impressive. I would call the Vikings fan base. So happy to talk to you.
Hey, that's a very nice compliment to all Vikings Nation. So thanks again, Greg.
See you, man.
And a big thanks to Greg Rosenthal for joining me today. Big thanks to my producer, Brandon Morin. And big thanks to my sponsor, Better Edge. As always, the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Better Edge, the social betting exchange, giving back to the bettors. Make sure to check out the site. I'm starting to use it. For my bettors out there, it's almost like a stock exchange. You want to get the best price. You want to sell your spread. It's a really interesting concept. Go check it out. Again, betteredge.com. Use the promo code Strom. Get a free $10 when you sign up by visiting betteredge.com. Rate, subscribe, review. That is the motto for podcasting. It helps me. It helps the network. I will talk to you guys next Friday here on TalkNorth.com. For Steven Strom, have a great weekend. Have a great Easter if you celebrate it. And I will speak to you next week.
Hey, everyone. Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you all over the great state of Minnesota to guarantee they've been treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. You need someone on your side who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. You may be entitled to medical benefits, wage loss benefits, job placement, retraining, and payment for permanent disability. To make sure you are being paid all the work comp benefits you're entitled to, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300, Bosch Law Firm, or visit us at workcompexperts.com.